The future of reporting, now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
The sounds from the Remembrance Day ceremony in Ottawa. It's just one of many being held across the country, including here in Montreal, where we have a reporter on site. Good morning, people. I'm Shruti Matta, and here are the other stories we are covering. Doctors upset by new law. How roads can be made safer for cyclists. Remembrance Day this year is seeing the return to many in-person ceremonies across the province. Our reporter Melina Levesque joins us live from Place du Canada in downtown Montreal. Tell us, Melina, more than a year and a half into the pandemic, what does today's ceremony look like?
Well, it's a beautiful day here in downtown Montreal, Shruti. The ceremony began with the Canadian National Anthem, followed by a moment of silence for the fallen. The sound of two cannons continued to fill the crowd. One actually just went off. While the ceremony is not open to the public, people are watching from the outskirts of the square that is currently barred off for veterans and their families. A cannon just went off. I don't know if you can hear that. As you remember, last year, as a result of the pandemic, veterans were asked to stay home for the sake of their safety. There are about 50 people gathered here today. Among them is Gordon Dapiat, a master corporal when he left the armed forces. He's here today to honor his family history.
And we have one... I have one uncle buried in England, and on his tombstone, headstone, there is a promise not to forget him.
What else can you tell us about the veterans there today?
Well, Shruti, many of Canada's veterans who served in the World Wars and the Korean War are getting older. I spoke with Captain Nicholas Snow about how Canadians, both young and old, can keep the duty of remembrance alive. Take a listen.
We keep doing this every year, the November 11th Remembrance Day stuff, visiting your local Legion, helping out when you can, volunteering an hour here or there, buying a poppy, and if you see a military member, just smile, say hi. It's something nice that goes a long way.
What other events are taking place around the city today?
Well, there are several ceremonies taking place around the city. Unlike the ceremony here, the Westmount ceremony is open to the public and is taking place right now, as a matter of fact. Montreal West's event begins a little later, around 12:30, and spots are limited but still open to the public. Of course, vaccine passports and masks are required for most of these ceremonies that you have to reserve a spot for. Another ceremony is currently taking place at Veterans Park in Kotsenvik.
Thank you for that, Melina. Over 850,000 Quebecers are still waiting for a family doctor, and Legault's government is fed up. Yesterday, it was announced that a new bill would be tabled this afternoon to push doctors to work harder and take on more patients. Here's Lola Calder with the story.
Working doctors are not happy. Having been coined as guardian angels during the pandemic, they feel now that their work is being dismissed as a new bill threatens to impose penalties to those who don't take on more patients. Dr. Michael Kalin, a general practitioner, shared his thoughts on the matter.
As Harvey Dent says in the Dark Knight movies, you either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I think that's how family doctors feel right now. We were the guardian angels during COVID-19, and now we are the villains for not doing enough.
Joël Arsenault, member of the National Assembly of Quebec, worries that this bill will only push doctors to seek work elsewhere.
Pretty clear consequence that this kind of approach can lead to is that doctors will decide to go elsewhere.
And despite the new bill being proposed today, Kalin explains that its contents will most likely not present anything new.
Really, we've been down this path before. It's a numbers game. There aren't enough people to fill the positions. It's that simple.
Looking ahead of the announcement, Kalin suggests that a new bill with sanctions is not the way forward, and that there are other solutions far more effective in bringing doctors to those in need.
The solution is finish what you started, and that means if you want a family doctor for every Quebecer, then you need to promote family medicine, you need to train family doctors, and then you need to then put them into communities where family doctors are needed.
I'm Lola Calder in NDG for Concordia News.
Quebec Superior Court judge rejects an appeal to suspend the vaccine passport. The applicants invoked a violation to right to equality and freedom of movement. The court sympathizes with people who are not able to attend their favorite public gatherings. During the proceedings, the judge continues by saying that these are not irreplaceable damages, and that alone is not a human rights violation. The court concludes that public interest is always over individual inconvenience. The backlash against Air Canada CEO is starting to die down, but language debates in Quebec aren't. For months now, front page media has focused on Quebec's proposed Bill 96. Our reporter Kendra Sharp is in the studio to get us up to speed on this ongoing story. Kendra, the PQ is jumping on this language bandwagon in a bad way and a big way, aren't they?
That's exactly right. So the Parti Québécois is planning to announce a new Bill 96 proposal this afternoon. They're saying they want the bill to be stricter than the CAQ government is proposing. This, even though there have been significant criticisms from the Anglophone community and others about some of the new provisions already included in the bill, the PQ says that the bill is actually not strict enough. One of their members, Pascal Berube, said this morning that the CAQ aren't truly nationalists, and he warned about Quebec losing its language like Louisiana. Here's Berube this morning on Bill 96.
I think that the Bill 96 is not a strong bill, it's weak. The CAQ are afraid of what the Anglophones are going to think about that.
And what are the voices in the Anglophone community saying?
So, as opposed to the PQ and the CAQ, Anglophones have been offering a little bit more of a tempered take on the reignited language debate. Journalist Robert Libman published a piece in Journal de Montréal this morning, so in French, saying that Air Canada CEO Michael Rousseau is not a representation of how all Anglophones in Quebec feel. Instead, he says most Anglophones are on board with the protection of the French language. He said that many, if not most, are bilingual, and that Anglophones support immersion programs in Quebec. So, contrary to the PQ saying that Bill 96 is meant to serve Anglophones, political commentator Ethan Cox says that these language debates are cyclical in Quebec. So, it's to be expected that it'll keep coming back. Here he is explaining their use by politicians.
There are a lot of rewards for stoking nationalism in Quebec, and the Legault government we've seen is looking forward to re-election, and one of the surest ways for any government to get re-elected in Quebec is language.
There's a lot of debate going on, but what is happening with Bill 96? Are there going to be changes made?
So we'll only know in December for sure if Bill 96 will be put into effect as is or not. That's when Parliament is set to make, the Quebec Assembly is set to make the final decision. As planned for this afternoon, there's still debates going on inside and outside of Quebec's National Assembly. When it does go through, depending on what's included, the Quebec Bar Association says there's a strong possibility that it could be challenged in court. This is especially when it comes to aspects that might limit access to services in English. Looking forward to this afternoon, we'll see what kind of new, quote, stricter provisions are proposed and how the CAQ government responds. Thank you.
Thanks, Kendra. It is the Don't Trust Any Purply Red Paste Day today. This new drug that made its way into Montreal's black market for the first time. Montreal's local health authorities have declared that this new drug has a similar effect as fentanyl. It was first seen in Ontario and now in Montreal. It is a drug from the 50s that has recently secured a place in the list of illegal narcotics. Health officials warn about the risk of an unknowingly easy overdose. A senior man was allegedly shot in Montreal's Rivière-des-Prairies neighborhood yesterday afternoon. Turns out that he's the head of a low-lying mafia clan. The 69-year-old man, who is now out of danger, was identified by police as Serafino Oliverio, aka Sergio Lopez. The mafia boss he went to the hospital all by himself after the shootings. Working under an alias as a construction contractor, he and his clan members own many discreet businesses in Montreal. Another 66-year-old cyclist died after being hit by a truck on Tuesday, making him the sixth victim of a biking accident this year. 2021 has been the worst year for biking since 2013. Our reporter Mary Catherine Goodrow reports.
In the last 10 years, 47% of the cyclists' deaths were caused by truck. It is hard for truckers to see what surrounds them. Trucks may not have their place in a dense city like Montreal, explains Séverine Lepage from Ghost Bike.
So I think we have to really rethink the use of large heavy-duty trucks in our cities and why they have to be there or not on certain arteries at certain times.
Cycling infrastructure is not always conceived to protect the most vulnerable, says a bike shop owner, Roberto Martinez.
I've been hit by cars twice in the last 10 years. It's kind of a big challenge for cars and bikes to coexist on the same infrastructure sometimes, just because they're not very compatible in terms of weight and size.
Trucks also have to be limited in the city. One of the solutions is to make the last kilometer delivery by bike.
But I think so much more needs to be done and needs to be enforced right away. There aren't many incentives or you won't have much limits on the trucks.
Newly re-elected Mayor Valérie Plante proposes to add more bike paths in downtown and around the metro, bus and train station. This is Marie-Catherine Goudreau for Concordia News, NDG.
A new report from MILA, Quebec Institute of Artificial Intelligence, has been proposed at the COP26, suggesting that AI could serve to fight climate change. Delphine Belzio spoke with David Rolnick, principal researcher of the study and computer science professor at McGill University. He says AI is a new tool in the battle against climate change.
Useful when it can help address bottlenecks in existing strategies for climate action.
And what are the principal recommendations you're proposing to governments in that document?
There are four key ways that AI can be relevant. One is in distilling raw data for into actionable information to help guide policymakers and other decisions. So, for example, distilling satellite imagery into understanding where deforestation is happening in real time or where people are most at risk from sea level rise. The second key theme is in improving predictions and forecasting. So, for example, forecasting agricultural yields to avert food insecurity. The third key theme is in optimizing complicated systems. And the fourth theme is in accelerating scientific modeling and discovery. So, for example, speeding up the process of discovering new materials.
Would you say that developing countries could also benefit from such AI climate projects?
The problems that get worked on are often defined by people in the global north and by existing centers of technology and finance. And this can severely limit the kinds of impact that AI has in practice. There are many challenges here, one of which concerns resources, which is a theme that we touch on in many sections of the report. Ensuring equitable availability of resources, which is easier said than done.
The document was submitted to COP26 last week. How the document was received by the members in Glasgow?
We've received very positive feedback thus far from the governmental and other entities that have read the report.
That was Delphine Belzio speaking with the researcher David Rolnick from McGill University. In arts news, Avril Lavigne reveals why she gave away a song to Kelly Clarkson. Justin Bieber is facing pressure from a human rights organization. And Taylor Swift are releasing a new album. Zondale Ponkana has all our arts and entertainment news today.
Taylor Swift fans can rejoice at a re-released album tomorrow. After Swift faced a legal dispute with her past manager, she's re-recorded all of her old songs. Fans can expect a few extra new songs that were originally excluded from the original version. Fan favorite, the single All Too Well, has been made into a music video that'll be released alongside the album. Megastars Dylan O'Brien and Sadie Sink will make an appearance.
Please welcome Ryan Reynolds.
TV funny men Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell pulled a hilarious prank on TV talk shows they were supposed to appear in. Ryan Reynolds was set to appear on Jimmy Kimmel, Will Ferrell was set to appear on Jimmy Fallon, but the pair switched places without the host's knowledge. Both were completely taken by surprise. The interviews went swimmingly, though, with both hosts smoothly improvising throughout the chat.
And the way you hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Feels so holy, 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 holy.
In more serious news, Justin Bieber is being urged to cancel a show in Saudi Arabia. A human rights organization say the show would give legitimacy to the Saudi Arabian government. The government has been critiqued for being a dictatorship and for being anti-LGBTQ rights. Bieber in the past has expressed support for social justice causes. He recently dedicated an album to the Black Lives Matter movement. Artists Nelly Furtado and Nicki Minaj have both cancelled Saudi Arabia shows in the past. Activists await to see if Bieber will follow the trend. Avril Lavigne has shared she initially planned to have Breakaway in one of her earlier albums. The song was, however, given to Kelly Clarkson and went number one immediately. This week, Lavigne revealed she initially wanted the song on her album Let Go. However, she thought it sounded like a quote-unquote church music, and so she scrapped it. She praised Clarkson for taking the track, saying her amazing vocals revamped it. Here's what it sounds like when Kelly Clarkson reinvents your song. In movie news, Belfast is expected to be released tomorrow. The film stars heavyweights Jamie Dornan and Judi Dench. It follows the life of a young boy in Belfast during a political conflict in 60s Ireland. Critics have compared its artsy black and white style to Roma. They expect it to receive the same amount of Oscars.
Thank you. That was Zondele Poncana with our arts and entertainment news. Today in sports, tennis player Annette Contavet battles Barbara Krejcikova at 5,000 feet in Mexico. The Toronto Raptors lose their first game on the road. And the Laval Rockets win three stars but lose two players to Montreal. Here is Denis Smolovic with more.
That was the crowd cheering Caden Primo's first star for the Laval Rockets shutout of the Belleville Senators. Primo made 32 saves while the Rockets played more energetically than their Montreal counterparts have been lately. They swept up all three stars of the game. Corey Schoeneman hit a post early in the first period. Alexandre Fortin almost scored on a rebound but managed his own goal later in the same period to give the Rockets an early lead. Ryan Poling doubled the lead in the second and Gabriel Bourque put the nail in the coffin with an empty netter in the third. The Canadians will be looking to get some of that energy tonight against the Calgary Flames as they recalled forward Ryan Poling and defenseman Matthias Norlander from Laval.
Watch Richardson goes coast to coast to beat the buzzer. The Raptors' perfect 4-0 road record is in jeopardy. Fourth quarter.
In basketball, the Toronto Raptors took a serious beating from the Boston Celtics, losing 104-88. It was the Raptors' first loss on the road, and they're now 6-6 for the season. This was certainly revenge for the 32-point lead win that the Raptors served the Celtics during their first match of the season. Yesterday, though, the Raptors trailed the entire game, but rookie Scottie Barnes led the Raptors with 21 points. He's having a historic start. He's cracked the top three of the most points by a Raptor rookie in the first 10 games. Van Vliet also collected 16 points, and the Raptors will be battling Philadelphia from the same division tonight at 7.
To see things end if you're an Annette Kontaveit fan. 11 in a row.
That was Annette Kontaveit continuing her hot streak in the women's tennis finals in Mexico. She needed only two sets of 6-3 and 6-4 to defeat the second-seeded Barbora Krejcikova. Kontaveit has now won 27 of her last 29 matches. She called her games in Mexico really, really difficult compared to Europe. The elevation's at 5,000 feet in Guadalajara. I don't know about you, but I'd probably have trouble just getting to work.
In more local news, Yvon Lambert, the Montreal Canadiens legend who won cup after cup in the 70s, released an autobiography yesterday. He talks of his glory days, but also of his personal problems with alcohol. Speaking of which, the Ducks general manager Bob Murray resigned yesterday and will be entering an alcohol treatment program. This came in after recent accusations of verbal abuse and harassment. Here's to hoping for more transparency in the NHL in light of the recent sexual assault allegations against Brad Aldrich from the Blackhawks. That's all for sports for today.
Thank you, Dennis. Some pet owners allegedly let loose their dogs to maul rabbits in Richmond parks. A gruesome video surfaced online where a lady was heard saying that this is the circle of life. Founder of Rabbitat Rescue Society in an interview said that incidents like these are so common and always overlooked. The police are now investigating the remains of the animals and residences in the area. An animal shelter in Richmond has requested for increased patrolling in parks. It's currently 6 degrees at Loyola campus. Temperatures go as high as 8 and low as 2 for today. It's the only day with sun and clouds for the weekend. Don't forget to carry your rainwear with winterwear for rain tomorrow. The following days till Monday are also going to be mushy, cold, and breezy. That's your news till 11:36. Thanks for listening. I'm Shruti Mata from Concordia News.